Der in Ode des Herrn Jesus Christus, der Leib Gottes und die Gemeinschaft des Heiligen Geistes, seien von dir aus morgens alles alle ungewünscht vom heute. Amen. Ich möchte Ihnen auch alle herzlich willkommen heute, die hier von dir aus morgens zu Ihnen sind und wenn Sie ja sind, Sie sind auch sehr willkommen hier zu sein. Die Bibel redet, wo zwei oder drei versammelt sind. Und die mehr will er sein. Wir sind mehr als zwei oder drei. Wir wollen nicht in Deutschland sein, aber wir sind mehr als dort. Und da habe ich den Trost, dass er wird uns bieren sein. Und dann wollen wir nicht viel sein. Ich will einen Vers zum Einleitung lesen, aus Galater, Kapitel 4, Vers 4. Das ist die Adventszeit, wir sind im Dezember. Da sagt nun, dass die Zeit erfällt wir, schaut Gott seinen Sehen, von der Früh und ja dort gesagt. Aus der Zeit nun erfällt wir, schaut Gott seinen Sehen, und ja in der Früh und ja dort gesagt. Das meint eine jüdische Früh. Weil wir noch zu Anfang beten, er wir übergehen, nur das Gesang. Gott, ein himmlischer Vater, wir danken dir für diesen wunderschönen Tag. Wir danken dir für die große Not, für das Land, wo wir leben, das Frieden, was wir hier haben. Und durch wirklich den Frieden, was wir hier allein durch dich haben. Und du bittest uns dort an. Wir danken dir für die große Not, die du uns bringen lässt, durch deine große Gove, ab Weihnachten. Und dass du uns hast die Hand geregt, alle Menschen, wer dort annehmen wird, die Buße dort, die annehmen wird im Glauben, soll das ewige Leben wie die haben. Hast uns auch dein Wort gegeben, so wirklich, wo die Menschen sicher dir den Lüre, die du ab der zurückkommende Jesus, der erste Advent, hast uns auch dein Wort gegeben, wo der zweite Advent, wo die wahre Wurst kommen und die Tekens, wo wir sollen in dieser Welt sein und wo wir das sein, wo das erfüllt wird, zu dieser Zeit, dass du dein Wahre kommen musst, sei dich bei sein. Hab uns, dass deine Kinder uns zu aller Zeit reit merke, nab die Checke von wo alle ins Haupt bekommen dat, denn dein Wort sagt, wenn diese Zeit erst passiert dat, dann hilft ihnen der Heb dann ab, von wo dein unser Haupt kommen dat. So beten wir am dienen Segen von dir aus Morris, am Gesang, am dem Rede, was ihr ever wird feiergebracht, da du allein machst, die ihr hier das beten wir in die Nome. Amen.
Nummer 622, du heilige Dreifaltigkeit.
Kräftig bei, oh mein Erlöser.
Wie war die erste Port von der Andacht in der plattdeutschen Sprache und die zweite Port in der englischen Sprache? For those of you that are guests, just to remind ourselves or to indicate that our first part of our message will be in the Low German language and the second part in the English language. Wie war mir mal die Dinge zu gehört, weil meine plattdeutsche Sprache, die spürt sich so, die war ein bisschen rastrig. Wenn ich sage, mal anfangen würde, dann musste ich mir da leider Deutsche lernen. Und da war ich einmal besser. En nu wel, dat waren een beetje rastrig geworden. Zo maar een dat veert naar Ive, en dan wordt je dat beter. Dat is alles jij. Die Vorschule, ich mit Anfang der Galater Feier, dass sagt, Gott hat eine Zeit, und dass die ganz erfällt wird. Weil die Gott hat eine Zeit. Und dass die erfällt wird, das schickt sie ihnen sehen. Dort wird er zum ersten Mal krank so, er lädt die Menschen gut weiter, durch das Alte Testament, was da passieren würde, und wo er in der Radar würde schicken. Aber das wird eine Sinne Zeit, nicht eine Menschen-Zeit. Und so ging er 4000 Jahre durch. Das Alte Testament ist auch für 4000 Jahre. Das hat eigentlich nur geteilt, das hat andere. Und sie sagen, das 4000 Jahre. 4000 Jahre, die das nach der Gott seine Zeit erfällt. Und dann checkt er sie in den Sehen. Und das sagt, dass wir durch eine Früh, und dass wir irgendjemand gesagt haben, so viel, dass wir eine jüdische Früh, dass wir Maria. Jesus kommt von den Sturm von den Juden. Jesus kommt von den Sturm von den Juden. Aber dass die Zeit erfällt, wir, welche einzige Menschen leben, Gott hat nicht Zeit. Gott hat Zeit. Er ist immer an Zeit. Er wird krank, wo er fährt, aber er wird krank, wenn er die Zeit wird sein. Sein erster kommen, aber auch sein zweiter kommen. Er hat hier dann ganz beschrieben, wo ich in der zweiten Port von der Andacht nennen kann, dass seine Menschen sollen weiter, nicht die wollen nicht die Bibel lesen. Die wollen die Bibel lesen, die sollen das ganz klar verstehen, wenn diese Dinge passieren, dann ist die Zeit noch. Dort hat er uns beschrieben. Diese Zeit nennen wir die Adventszeit von Jesus in Jesus kommen. Dort nennen wir die Adventszeit. Das drei Merke von Jesus in Jesus kommen und wo das dort wir. Wir fingen dort in der 1. Mose all in Genesis. Dass die Sünde überfallen wie die Menschen. Dann hat Jesus allen Plan, dass er zu den Feind, auch die erste Ältere, die haben das gelungen mit dem Sinn, dass die Menschen sind übertreten, die haben sie Leben dabei sie genommen und haben von dort verbotene Frucht gegeten. Dann sieht er in 1. Mose 3, 15, dort irgendwo in der Radar schicken. Und die wollte den Kopf verquatschen, verklungen. Die eben macht, wollte, und dort hat Jesus am Kreuz. Er hat die Übermacht über die Sünden von Dörschen doch noch. Die Fien kann mächtig sein, aber Gott ist allmächtig. Gott ist allmächtig. Wenn ich nie kurz sage, hier die Erdbeben, die Earthquakes, die in den Philippinen sind, da wies Gott seine Allmacht. Da wies Gott seine Allmacht. Die Ticken sind die Erdbeben, die sind, da lässt Gott kommen. Und dort war er so gut und viele andere Dinge. Und dort seht ihr, du in 1. Mose 3, 15, da lädt ihr das weiter. Und ihr das feiert diesen Jahr. Und dann hat all die Generation, tell you not, denkt ihr, all die Generation von 10 Jahren an, hat das Mustiere, dort nach Harada kommen, auch die Menschen, die die Schrift wissen, die hat das Mustiere, dort durch Champner, aber die bloß so lang. Das geht bloß so lang. Ich habe nicht die Zeit nicht gelebt und du hast wenig beschrieben, was ich hier denke, wofür Generations dort durchgingen. Sind die Menschen einst mal anmutig gewesen? Wenn ich denke mal an das Opfer, was das Alte Testament hat, ich denke bloß an 2. Chroniker 7, wo Salomo bei den Tempel. Und da hat er Wort, was Salomo hat er geraut und er möchte ganz vorig. Und Salomo hatte über 40.000 wieder Feu in das heißt Schub und Asse. Ich wurde nicht handreihen, aber das kann ich selbst lesen. Ich glaube, das 20.000 Schub und 22, das wie 41.000. Und ein Tag schlachte du, so ein großer Tau kommen wie du. Ich nehme an, das sagst du nicht, aber ich nehme an, das Fleisch haben sie gebraucht zum Eten. Aber dort wird den Tempel zu dedikieren. Da wird den Tempel Ente sehen. Und dann sage ich Salomo, ich will hier ein Opfer machen. Da wird ein Opfer. Viel Blut vergoten. Denkt ihr mal, Han, so viel Tiere schlachten. Ende 40. Und da wird ein Opfer. Und da wird das Alte Testament weich, und die Menschen können seine Vergebung der Sünde kriegen. Die Priester, die sprang Blut über die Menschen und so wird mit den Sünden verhandelt. Feier diesen Jahr, sagte sie nur den Radar, wat te komen wordt. En die raden als van daar al je komen. 2000 jaar terug en dat is Jezus. We lezen dat in de Wieder van de profeten die dat lang komen, die schrijven in de Bijbel, wanneer we een vernieuwing in de Bijbel met hand, Jesaja kapitel 7, vers 14, daar zegt de Bijbel, en de Heer wordt je zelfs een teken geven. Check de moeder wordt een vrouwzinne, een virgin, en die zal een zoon gebaren en die zal zijn noemen Emmanuel heten. Interessant. Dit is wat 700 jaar voor Jezus geboren werd. Niet 5000 jaar terug. 5000 jaar terug, dat weer ongeveer als 1. Mose 3, 15. Dit is wat 700 jaar voor Jezus geboren werd. Dat is de lange tijd, 700 jaar. Daar kwam de profeet Jesaja en zegt tot de mensen, du wordt je een teken geven. Je hoort wat die teken is. Du wordt een jongvrouw, een virgin zinne. Die wordt een zin, dat is de gender. Weet je, dat zegt dat. Dat niet dat zijn vroegmans, dat zijn zeen. En even die noemen Emmanuel. En dan drijven we eerst in Matthäus 1, vers 21. Daar zegt dat, vraag van de Emmanuel. Jezus wil zien noemen je bij Emmanuel, dat mijn God met ons. Dat zegt in eerste Matthäus 21. Dat hat zu wirken sehen. Weet je, dat stammt krank. 700 Jahre later kommt der Matthäus und schrift von den Sehen, den Gender, und sagt auch Emmanuel, weil er sagt, dort, er meint Gott mit uns. Er will dort taupen. Gott mit uns, was wir im Alten Testament durch die Adam und Eva Erde sind, durch das Opfer nicht können vollbringen. Weet je, dat Jesus ging nicht zu holen. Wer das Jesus hat gebrochen, wird dort gemerkt, gesteinigt. Konnte nicht, dass wir schwierig te deed. Maar daar zijn we drie tekens. Een jongvrouw, een virgin, dat we stemmen krijgen wat Maria weer. Ze zijn door de gender issue van een zin. En we zijn de noemen Emmanuel. We zijn Jezus, maar hij houdt mij als een noemen werken. We namen Jezus, maar hij werkt Emmanuel. In kapitel 9 van Jesaja, dat ze waren de zalse profeet. Die zegt, als een kind geboren zijn is je geeft. En zijn regering zal op zijn schulden zijn en zei, hij zal wonderbaar zijn. Hij zal een roodgever zijn. Hij zal een machtige God zijn. En eeuwige vader en de Prince of Peace. Die zal een vredzeker. Dit dan, de reed hier van Jezus, zal ons geboren worden. En zijn, gender, waar, de reed dat van een gender. En de reed dat van zijn noem is wat hij had. His name shall be called. Weet je, zijn noem zal genaamd worden, wonderbaar. Hij is ook wonderbaar. Hij is een roodgever. Nu denk je, we gaan naar rood. Hij is de almachtige God. En eeuwige vader is nou eenmaal gewaast. Zo'n schrift wordt geschreven van de profeten en had die mensen te die tijd gelezen van de oorna, wer dit Jezus werkelijk is. En dan in diezelfde profeet, dit profeet heeft na een beetje geschreven van Schrift in Kapitel 53. Von wann Jesus gekommen ist. Weet je, das ist eine Schrift, von wann Jesus gekommen ist. Dort er erst gekommen, wenn er seine Messe tat. Wurde er verschleppt. Wurde er gemerkt, mordet. Hier kommt ein Mensch 700 Jahre vor dem und sagt, wurde er mit ihm, diesen Wort gebe, weil er sich in Opfer, sein Leben haben gebe. En hij zegt, die wordt als een schop ter slagbank gevierd. En zo wordt hij een paar honderd voor. Stemt dat? Waar kraak zou je doen? Zo je nou als de Bijbel. Zo je nou als de Bijbel van een schrijver van onder 700 jaar later. Weet je, wanneer we eerst really prophecy studie doen, weet je, de advent van de eerste komt, maar bijzonder over de tweede, dat zal ons dat ganz zeker zijn, dat de Bijbel, dit boek, dat stemt. Van de eerste dag even nieuws, weet je niet wat recht en onrecht is, dat weet wie goed. En als je dan niet gewaast. Jeder heeft zijn ene idee, maar wat is de waarheid? Als Jezus mooi christig wordt, dan dat is de plaats schließlich naar wat de waarheid. Hij werd zo verdreed met de ganze zaak. Einer zegt zo en de ander zo. Zo is het van de eerste dag aan het bed. De woord is in de Bijbel. Und da wo ihr Finger durch die Prophezei und dem Dollar jede Prophezei und ihr Stunde tun, das wisst ihr bloß, dass die Bibel sterben wird, von einem Schrift über den anderen. Die sind da vielleicht ein bisschen anders. Und weil wir dort nicht verstanden tun, das ist nicht, dass die Bibel sich wahrer sprechen wird, das ist, weil wir dort nicht verstanden tun. Und wenn wir das ganz verstanden reden, dann wir für Gott. Wenn wir alles verstanden haben, wo wir nicht alle verstanden. Und hier schreibt er von, wo hat er aus dem Schlupf zu der Schlagbank ging und hat diese Mühe einfach nicht auf. Und dann in Micha, wo ich nicht handreihe, aber werde, Kapitel 4, Vers 2. Du sagst die Prophet Micha, von wo er soll geboren worden, in Bethlehem. In einer ganz kleinen Stadt wohnen nicht viele Menschen. Ihr Schwester, das ist interessant, dass eigentlich dass ein Mensch noch sich kann abreihen, wo kriegt die Bibel sich sterben wird. Wo kann ein Mensch in Micha im Alten Testament wo beschrieben, wo die geboren soll worden? Und da stimmt er doch noch. Wenn irgendeiner Wort von Jüns sei, mein Großkind, wird dann und dann geboren worden, und da steht und da, na, da würde wir sagen, das weißt du wohl nicht. Aber wenn die Bibel was sagt, dann stimmt das. Und so war das auch. Der Prophet Micha, der muss das sagen, das sei doch. Weißt du, dann kommen die in Matthäus Kapitel 2, da kommen die Herodes und seine Nofalia, und die Früchte, die Schriftlehrer, Pharisäer, ist das der Jesus? Die wüsste die Alte Testament Prophezeiung, ist das der Jesus? Und die wüsste, und dann sehen die Schriftlehrer, Pharisäer, Judith, ist das, die haben die Alte Testament Propheten gelesen. Die haben die gelesen, dann wüsste die dort. Ich wundere einmal von dir, wenn Jesus will kommen in der Luft, mit dem Trompet, würde unsere Menschen weiter, dass das der Jesus wäre. Waren sie nie von Wort gelesen von Prophezeiung? Herodes wusste nicht. Und hat ihr abgerecht mit all seinen Menschen, dass ein König der Juden soll geboren worden. Das dreht ihm ab. Und ich kann die Frau, was das Alte Testament kannte, sie sind Juden das. No, da will er ja kommen am anbeten, dass wir gar nicht das denken. Er wollte ihm euch anbeten. Er wollte ihm dort merken, das war er wohl. Aber er will den solchen Menschen brücken. So sehen wir dort die Tiet. Dort hat eine Tiet von 4000 Jahren, dass Jesus kommen da. Aber er kam. Dank Gott, er kam. Wir leben in der Notentiet. Wir dürfen nicht Tiere opfern für unsere Sünde. Wir können in der Not, wenn wir das sehen, dass uns, wie bedürftig sind, dass wir in der Rade fehlen. Ich habe mit der Sache verhandelt und für Gott kommen. Und das ist die Not. Kein Blut für jede von Tieren. Das ist das Alte Testament. Dort ist das Alte Bund. Das neue Bund ist das Jesus. Seid ihr nicht froh, dass wir dort haben? Dass dort in der Fällung gekommen ist? So auf die Zeit aufgerannt, 4000 Jahre, nicht auf 2000 Jahre, wenn ihr die Not warst. Und da wurde ich blieben, zu Kindeskind, mit Generation, mit Generation. Und was ich meinte, sei es das Element of Time. Heid mal euch dort. Ich denke, ich muss mein Leben, wo ist dort geblieben? Wo ist dort geblieben? Wo sind 70, 80, 90 Jahre? Das ist eine kurze Zeit, aber manche Menschen, die hier wird, sagen, die wird sagen, wo ist die Zeit geblieben? Will ich nicht mehr stellen? Wo ist die Zeit geblieben? Die Kinder sind groß geworden, sind von Tüßchen gegangen, die Großkinder, wo ist die Zeit? Und welche nicht so wie in Dezember, nicht so wie meist in diesem Jahr auch aufgerannt. 365 Jahre sind ein Jahr, wir sind mehr für mehr. Letzte Monat. Die Tiet. Und so hat Gott auch Tiet. Und dann noch einen Karten Gedanke. Dann ist Jesus da mal geboren wird, und ich rede nur von Herodes, der wir besorgt, wo wurde nun sind, dort ein König, die Jüde geboren wurde. Dann eine Gedanke, was ich würde mal machen, wo kann ein Kind in dieser Welt geboren worden, zu der Zeit, und dann über so eine große Abrehung geben, so einen großen Threat, auf Englisch sagen Threat, so ein großer Abregung hier. König der Juden, weet je, dat als ik een nome te drehen van kind, en dat reed die mensheid op. Dat zei Herod en all his people were troubled, weet je, die weer bezorgd, wat je jeft dat hier nu. Half een kind, nu dem er verre dem ever zo'n opregung gegeeft, als dan is Jezus geboren weer. Erste van de eerste dag, moet ik wel eens zeggen, erste zo'n opregung anders is van die nome Jezus brugge doen. Du kannst wahrlich von einem Gott reden, aber der ist die einmal Rede von Gott, sein Sehen, Jesus Christus, der in diese Welt gekommen ist, meine Sünde aufzunehmen, deine Sünde, dann hast du eine Abregung in dieser Welt. Nicht alle. Nicht gläubige Menschen, aber in der Menschen ist riesig ab. Der Kraft liegt in den Jesus. Und er sagt, wenn die Worte verfolgt wurden, er wird auch verfolgt. Das wird nicht was Neues sein. Das ist nicht bloß einem Gott, das ist eine Abregung wegen Jesus, und da wir dann zu dir kriegen, so Herodes und all die Menschen, die reden sich ab. Was jäfft das nicht mit dem Kleinchen? Wollen sie das noch tot merken? Dann was? Sie wollen mit dort waschen, da wissen sie ganz klar. Und so werden sie die Juden von der ersten Tag noch bloß anbringen. Was die Juden haben, bloß anbringen. Maar toch wel wie nu weer gaan en nog een gezang gaan en dan wel we even gaan in Engels aandacht. Waar je dat gaat doen, wel we al op je beeldetje naar je gaan en God beden, whatever op ons hart ligt. Weet je, ons God, die slaapt niet en die lijn is helemaal op. En hierom ze werden met meer zum gebed en beten in de naam van Jezus. Der Herr, hier unsere Gebete sei uns allen gnädig.
Take the red book and turn to number 63, Joy to the World. Number 63, can we stand?
He rules the world that through them reigns.
What a beautiful Christmas song. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. It should bring us joy. In spite of challenges in this world, what we see and what is happening, but it should bring us joy. The Lord has come. He rules with truth and grace. I think that's what the last verse says. He rules with truth and grace. Advent. We talked about the Advent of the first part of a message in the Low German language of Jesus' first coming. We indicated it was about 4,000 years. And the prophets, 700 years before that, also talked about Isaiah, Micah. And now we want to talk about the second coming of Jesus. We want to ask ourselves, are we looking for signs or are we looking for Jesus? What are we after? Signs? Or were we looking for Jesus? The first time that people looked for Jesus as a redeemer, and we should be looking for Jesus at this present time as well. Prophecy of the second coming of Jesus is approximately 30% of the Bible. That's one third. Now, if all pastors thought of it, that would be that I should bring a message on prophecy of the second coming every third message. But I don't do that, and neither does anybody, I believe. But that's approximately the prophecy, and it's made for people to read. If you read in Revelation, if you turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, I'll read you these verses and see what it says there about prophecy. That's a book. There's many other books of prophecy. Daniel prophesies, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. They prophesy. But Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, here it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does revelation start off? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by the angel unto his servant John. John wrote Revelation, and it was an angel that signified it to the servant John that wrote it. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth. You're blessed if you read the Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. That's what Revelation starts off with before there's 22 chapters. Blessed who reads it, who hears it and does it. And then in Revelation 19, verse 10, it says, the Spirit of Jesus is a... I better turn there because it's not... Revelation 19, verse 10... The latter part says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus. If you have a testimony, what is it about? It says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He knows that the future, the present, and he knows the outcome. And there's, like I said, there's about one-third of the Bible of prophecy. Let us look at some of the events of prophecy. Let's look at the coming, which has not happened, the event of the prophecy of the rapture. In German, we call it die Entrückung, the taking up. Some people say it's a new thing that's come up. It's always been. The end time events of prophecy. The rapture is not something new. Die Entrückung is not something new. Jesus himself was raptured up. Elijah was raptured up. And Enoch was also raptured up. They never died. They were taken up. They had no graves. Let's turn to some of these books of the Bible and see if that is what is written in the Bible. Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Turn your Bibles, those of you who have it. Matthew 27, 52 to 54. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. This is after Jesus was resurrected from the tomb. He was dead, but he resurrected him. God resurrected him out of the tomb. It says there that there was in that time, exactly in that time, the graves were open. And those that had died before entered into the city, into the holy city, and appeared to many. That's what the Bible says here. It's not simply that Jesus, that stone was rolled away, but those that slept. But we have to also take note in verse 51, it says, 52, and the bodies of the saints, it was not of the non-believers, the bodies of the saints, those are believers. Those believers, the saints that had been buried in the ground, all of a sudden the graves are opened, it says. You go across the cemetery and all of a sudden you see some holes. And the saints are walking around in the city. Can you imagine if you or I lived in that time? And your grandpa or whoever, all of a sudden you meet him on the street? That's a rapture out of the graves. And that's how the rapture will happen when he comes back for the church and his saints. Not a non-believer, for the saints. Exactly the way it's recorded here. The graves were open and it was the saints that were out of the grave. Appeared into the city. Now, I don't know. It's a question. I don't have the answer. What happened after this? Oh, were they buried again? Did they die again? Or were they taken up? Doesn't say. I have never come across anything that says that. But the graves were opened. What a miracle of a rapture. It just shows that he had power over his own death, but he also had power over all the saints, and he took them and he raptured them up. How about Jesus himself, his rapture? Let's look at it a little bit and see what it says. We have possibly all read this, heard this. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This is the rapture of Jesus. After he gave instruction to his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, it says a cloud took him out of their sight. And these people that were there, they all looked steadfastly on him as he went up. And then the angel says, the same way that you have seen him go to heaven, he's coming back. He's coming back the same way as you saw him go back to heaven. Referring to the rapture. And then we turned our Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verses 34 to 36. It says, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. What do you take out of it? One sleeping, one going. One in the field, one going up. Also in Matthew 24, Matthew writes about the same thing in Matthew 24, verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. He says you don't know the hour. It doesn't say the day, but the hour. So there we find also that Matthew writes the same thing of an event where one shall be taken, the other left. And it will be the believers, the saints, that will be divided as sheep and the goats. Talking about the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians, that's really the nicest recording that I know of the rapture, written by Paul to the Thessalonians. Chapter 4, and I'll read exactly the way it says there in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18. Well, I'm in 2 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant. See, ignorant is not in God's idea of people to be ignorant. We know as much as we know. We will be accountable as much as we know. That is fact. But not to be ignorant. There's a big difference. Some people think that if you're ignorant, then that's a blessing. It's not a blessing to be ignorant. But he says here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died. In other words, that's what he means about saying them, those that are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Don't be ignorant. And then he explains it. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, he talks about the coming of Jesus. If Jesus has died and rose again, this plan of salvation, even so also the which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Don't be overly concerned if a person dies as a believer. God will take care of them. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, the we are that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Talking about those that have died before. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How can you analyze the word of God by the Holy Spirit and say there is no rapture? No taking up, whatever you want to call it, and drikung. They say, well, the word rapture isn't in the Bible. That's right. I can't find it neither. But it's a taking away. It's a taking away. And he says, don't be ignorant. Those that die in the Lord, I will take with me. But he says, this is the way it's going to happen. You that are living on this earth will not go ahead of those that are in the graves. First, when the trumpet sound shall sound, the voice of an archangel, he says, the dead in Christ shall rise first in verse 16 of the latter part. The dead in Christ, like we had the verse that I read to you of those that after Jesus' resurrection, that went into the city, the dead in Christ means believers. He says they will go up first. It doesn't talk about the non-believers. The rapture is for the believers. We'll be raptured first. Then we which are alive will be caught up. That's where it connects together with two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, one the other be left. Two shall be grinding, one shall be taken, one the other left. It coincides. It drives exactly with 1 Thessalonians 4. But verse 18 says this, take note, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It's not a torment, it's a comfort. Prophecy is never negative, but it's a comfort to those that hear this. It's a plan of God. When the timing will be there, like I said in the German message, when the fullness of time was there, God sent his son. And it will be the same way as this way. On the rapture, and also about the natural death. Then if we go over to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, there's a further instruction given. verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, unexpected. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a tree veil upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. What Paul is really saying is that Jesus will come in an unexpected time. But it's interesting to note that he will use a woman in pregnancy, and delivering a child, she cannot escape the time. Oh, the doctors will tell a woman that it'll take 9 months. But we well know it's 9 plus or less than 9 months. We don't know the day or the hour, but let me tell you, we know a time frame. We know a time frame, otherwise the Bible would, you know, like in the days of Noah. We know a time frame when Jesus will come again. And he says, like a woman with child, she will not escape that, neither will you and I escape this. This is the Bible, this is the truth. It will happen this way when the fullness of time comes, when his timing is there. It will happen, and a woman cannot escape her birth pains. She has to bear them, she will go through it. And there are birth pains of the coming events that we see unfolding today. Just watch the Middle East. If you're anything interested in Bible prophecy and know what the Bible has to say, watch the Middle East, watch how they treat the Jews and many other things. Read your Bible on prophecy. And then in verse 4 and 5, but ye brethren are not in darkness. He's talking about believers. He says, you are not in darkness. What does darkness refer? To the non-believer. But he says, you brethren are not of these. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5 says, ye are the children of light. You know. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. It gives us enough direction that we should know. That's why we have the Bible. It's our forecast. The Bible talks about the believers going to be raptured up. And I understand, according to my studies in the Bible, it will be for the believers only. They will not have to go through the 7-year tribulation of the wrath of God. You know, the wrath of God will be as horrible as you ever can imagine. Nothing has happened as bad as the 7-year tribulation. Did I say rapture? The 7-year tribulation. It would be. And we as believers do not have to go through that tribulation. God does not punish the bride before he takes them home. He takes them home. We can see it in the days of Noah. We can see it in Sodom and Gomorrah. That he took them away. Well, there might be persecution. Some people might say, well, there's persecutions. Now, yes, that is, but it's not the wrath of God. You study Daniel or Revelation, you know, there's 100, it talks about 100-pound hailstones coming down. That will be an event, the 7-year tribulation, like man has never seen before, when the Antichrist will rule. Paul also writes about things of the Bible, they're hard to be understand, and some people don't even wrestle with. And we must admit, yes, there are some things that are hard to understand. They're hard to wrestle with. But does that put away prophecy and that we should not be interested? Should we not get excited that there is a way out? If we see these things happening, what is our way out? Are we looking for Jesus? Revelation ends off with saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That is for the believers, our only way out to meet Jesus. In Matthew 16, this is what Jesus had to say about prophecy, you know, his second coming. And it's quite dramatic that he would speak this way, but this is what he says. Matthew 16, verses 1 to 3. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees. These are scriptural people, according to that day. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came and tempting desire him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it is, will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? So what he's really telling us here that you as people can discern when it's evening and the sky is going down, or the sun is going down, and you will see it will be fair weather tomorrow. He says, oh, ye hypocrites, you can look at the skies and you can discern that, but you can't face the signs of the times. You have to differentiate between the signs of the times or the day or hour. It never gives us a day or hour, but gives us a sign of the times or the seasons. Sometimes it talks about the seasons. We have four seasons. We don't know exactly. We say spring has a certain day, but you know it can depend on the weather, but it's still spring. So that's the seasons we have for. We have times talked about in the Bible, but we don't know the day or hour. We just read as a thief in the night. We don't know when the thief will come because we don't know. He's never told us, right? If he breaks in. That's the way Jesus will come. He doesn't say us the day or hour, but he knows, tells us that there's mention of events happening, of times and seasons, that a believer that reads the book, the Bible, will understand. We are in the time and season of Jesus' return. Well, some people say they said that in the New Testament already. Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus didn't come yesterday. He might come today in the rapture. And if he doesn't come today, maybe he'll come tomorrow. You know, the Bible talks about scoffers, and we take well to learn that there are signs of times and seasons for the believer to study and to beware of and to take serious. In Luke, Luke 12, verses 54 to 56, it basically reiterates exactly what Matthew said. And he said also to the people, when you see the cloud arise out of the west, straightway you see there cometh a shower, and so it is, referring to the skies. And when you see the south wind blow, talking about the weather, this is the words of Jesus, ye say there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. And he says this, ye hypocrites, you don't know better? Are you hypocrites? Ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye cannot discern this time? You have no distinction of time when you can do the rest. He calls them hypocrites. Maybe have no interest, I don't know. Second Peter warns us not just about hypocrites. Turn your Bible to Second Peter, chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. It talks about the end of time. And it says this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Scoffers are the that don't believe, and they walk after their own liking or lust. And what do they say? Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? They make light of it. They scoff at it. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Nothing has changed. They've talked about generations and generations of Jesus coming. Nothing is happening. Are we somewhat like that? Well, I'll tell you, it took 4,000 years, and if there was any scoffers in that time of the 4,000 years of the Old Testament, well, there will be scoffers while living on the face of earth and not believing that Jesus will return. They're called scoffers. They do not believe. Not just that, they walk after their own lust. They think life is so wonderful just to do whatever you think is pleasure. Walking after their own lusts. And these are scoffers. They don't believe the Bible, what he has to say. Then we drop down in that same chapter. But beloved, be not, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's referring to eternity. Some people think that well, this is who God is. He has no timing. Well, I don't believe that. He literally took 6 days to create the world. And when he talks about days to people in the Bible, he talks about a day. Otherwise, it would be very confusing. We could add to the creation 6,000 years that it took him. It was literally 6 days. But this refers, when it talks about one day as 1,000, it talks about eternity. There is no time. There is no time. When you study that, you will find that that's fact. This is one day. I mean, he refers to us in Scripture as days, nights, seasons. But eternity has no. Verse 9 and on, the Lord is not slack concerning this promise, his promise, as some men call slackness. You know, he's not slack. He's, when the fullness of time, we're getting back to that verse, Galatians 4:4, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I've since said to some people that I believe in global warming because the Bible talks about it. In fact, there will be such a global warming, that's a different global warming that's being talked about now. This is a global warming that God will ignite, and he says it will come with, the elements will melt with fervent heat, the earth and the works thereof. That is global warming. And he says, what are we to be, what kind of people? He says, in holy conversation and godliness, you look for the hastening and coming of the day of God. Like I said before, that's the only way out. We as believers have a faith that when we're out of here, it lines up with Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 talks about the faith of our forefathers, the faith chapter. They were pilgrims and strangers, and the only way, it says in Hebrews 11, they looked for a city and maker who is God. They had nothing on this earth. They were passing through as pilgrims, and then finally they said, we're looking to Jesus. That's the only way they wanted to get through this life. Global warming. Looking for Jesus. In Matthew 24, which I won't turn to, you know, if I was to preach on a message on 30% of the Bible, I'd be here how many days? 30% of the Bible. You can't read all of that in 1 hour. This is just a touch. This is just a touch of what Bible prophecy has to say. There's lots more. But in Matthew 24, if you take time at home to read it, you do well to read Matthew 24, and you will strike. It talks about as in the days of Noah. Okay. How do you know? If you have never read the account of Noah, then you turn your Bibles to Genesis and you read the account of Noah. To understand what were the days of Noah. Well, the days of Noah were they ate and drank and they lived their own pleasure and lust. See, and I would say there were scoffers at that time. They said, Noah, you're building an ark. You need to go to a mental home. But God said it, Noah did it. God said it, Noah did it. He believed God more than humans. And when you read Matthew 24, you will find the wickedness of people was so great that God could not deal with them any other way than to have a great flood and drown them, except Noah and his family. And that's where he ushered in animals two by two, and Noah and his children. Finally, Noah goes to the door, and it says this, and God locked the door. I think, in my own perspective, this is my own perspective of thoughts, I think Noah stood by the door, and all the people that were around him, that were present, maybe helping him even build the ark, he had the last message of repentance and turning to God. Noah was a person, as I understand, and he was a godly man, did not want anybody to perish, neither did God. But God had a plan, and his plan was, I'm going to disrupt this whole thing, And when you look at the wickedness, and then you turn to Matthew 24, you will find the wickedness that we have today in this world is lining up exactly in the days of Noah. Would anybody disagree? With our gender issue, abortions, we're concerned about the people killed in the Gaza Strip. How about the millions that Americans and Canadians have killed? Our gender issue, as in the days of, are we in the 11th hour, in the time or season, when Jesus will reappear? When you read Matthew 24, it talks about earthquakes. At different places, it talks about the signs in the heavens and so on. But there are signs. Second Timothy 2 Timothy chapter 3. Talks about characteristics is another thing. You need to be aware. I talked about the days of Noah recorded in Matthew 24. And here it says, in the last days shall perilous times shall come. And it talks about characteristics. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, natural, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. How do these characteristics in general line up with today? It talks about in the last days, perilous time shall come, but then it gives in a list of disobedient to parents, people being proud, covetous, truce breakers. It talks about natural affection. What's a natural affection? Husband and male and female is natural. That's how God designed it. It's natural affection. And here we find signs of the last days of perilous times, hard times, but then also characteristics of the people, how they live, and their own lusts, like we read before. And here it talks about. And then it says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What do we see today? Many people, the things of the church or the spiritual is not that important. What happens in the week of Bible study, whatever there is, maybe choir, anything is, then we go camping or do something. Am I personally against camping? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, what is important? Are we more lovers of pleasure than lovers of God? Let us be warned. You can fool men, but you can't fool God. And then verse 7 says, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. These people are always being educated, but haven't got the real truth of the Bible yet. That's what he's trying to tell. And these are all just characteristics that we can view and say, you know what, this is just another link in the whole prophecy of Jesus' coming. I didn't document it. The Bible did. Paul did, wrote this to Timothy. Beware of these perilous times and behavior of the people. I believe I will close with that, with the prophecy of Jesus' second coming. And like I mentioned before we kneel for a word of prayer, we are living in those days. We see that what's happening in the Middle East, in the Gaza, and I don't hesitate to speak about it, that God's chosen people, the Jews, as far as salvation is concerned, male or female, Jew or Greek, that's all on one level. But when you read Genesis 12, I believe I saw it in the bulletin, about the promises that were given to Abraham, that was besides salvation yet, there would be blessings, his children would be the sand of the sea. Abraham's obedience to Isaac, offering Isaac, brought such a blessing that will carry to, we call that an eternal covenant. John 3:16, that has never a deadline. That coupon of John 3:16 never expires. Oh, it's after 10. Sorry, I didn't see the clock up there. It never expires. And so John 3:16 never expires, neither do the prophecies of God's word. Let us all kneel and pray for the peace of Israel. Yes, pray for the Jews, but pray also for the Palestinians. Pray for Hamas. Let us all unite in a word of prayer. The Lord, hear our words, prayers, and be gracious unto us.
Take the red book and turn to page 542. God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide, uphold you. With his sheep securely fold. Failing round. till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Morning. Just a reminder to check your mailboxes so that the mailboxes don't get overfilled. And also, the new list has been corrected and reprinted, and they're available in the foyer. So just make sure your list in the upper left corner says second printing. Thank you.
I must apologize. I looked at the time, and the one hand said 10 there, and I thought it was 10 before 10. And I didn't see the other hand until I looked at my watch. Apologize. But God bless you all. Thank you for coming, and I want to leave you with a benediction found in Numbers chapter 6. Let us unite. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace now and into all eternity. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. God bless you. Have a good day.